I'm Sonia Usach Kuhn of the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month I will introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. My guest today is Jackie Jordan Welker, Director of Marketing and Communications for Make-A-Wish, Eastern North Carolina. Let me tell you a little bit about Jackie. She was born and raised in Albany, New York, where she attended Cortland State University. She studied communications with a concentration in broadcast journalism. She moved to Wilmington, North Carolina in 2003 after graduating and began working for Cumulus Broadcasting, the second largest broadcast company in the United States. During her 14 years of employment with Cumulus, Jackie held positions in marketing and promotions, covering five stations. She was program director for three stations and was on-air talent as afternoon drive and midday talent on a classic rock station, as well as being a morning show host and midday talent on an adult contemporary format. She has spent a lot of time in the Wilmington community and has volunteered for several organizations. Her passion for community was a driving factor in her successful radio career. With her longtime familiar voice and face working in local radio, Jackie has brought her signature energy and excitement to events throughout southeastern North Carolina for more than 17 years. Through her award-winning work in radio, she developed a passion for the mission of Make-A-Wish and joined the team at Make-A-Wish Eastern North Carolina in 2017. In her role as Director of Marketing and Communications for the chapter, Jackie works with Wish Kids and families who tell their heartfelt wish stories through video, blog, and social media channels. She coordinates fundraising events and handles the branding and marketing efforts of the chapter toward the goal of advancing the mission to grant life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses. Granting wishes, she says, is a truly special experience. Each wish is as unique as the child, and we take special care to make sure that every child has an experience they will never forget. Jackie is married to, and I quote, a wonderful man. They have no children but two crazy cats named Nermal and Kitty Perry, who rule the household. Jackie, we are delighted to have a pro on the radio with us today. I hope you feel at home.
Oh, thank you so much. I do, although it is a little odd being on this side.
Yes.
Of the, I guess, table of sorts, of this side of the phone. I'm honestly honored to be your guest today, Sonia. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, my wonderful engineer, Chris, and I are delighted you're here. So now let's talk a little about what got you interested in radio specifically, as opposed to other media.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was a child of the 80s, so I had a Mr. Microphone. I don't know if either of you remember that, but it was this little toy back in the early 80s, late 70s, that allowed you to talk on the radio. As long as you were close to a radio, you could tune it and you could, you know, mimic what you were hearing, and it made you like you were on the radio. And I had always loved radio, and I loved my Mr. Microphone because it just was so fun, and how fun radio itself just seemed to me. The radio personalities always seemed to be laughing and enjoying something, and just all in all, it was something I just was always fascinated with. So I used to pretend I was one. I mean, going back as young as 6 years old, in fact, my family has recordings of me broadcasting, quote unquote. We'll put broadcasting in air quotes because I don't know how great I was. And just practicing. There was a classic recording. I was live from California once. And in reality, I was just in my brother's bedroom instead of mine. I mean, it was 10 feet away, but I was live in California and making announcements. I was just always fascinated with that element and putting on a show, kind of showcasing creativity. I was always the one to volunteer to make announcements or read aloud in school. My poor parents and teachers, basically, I think they just couldn't really shut me up ever.
Well, I know the excitement, and I'm very happy that you followed through. because before I moved to North Carolina myself, I did some radio in New York. So we are partners in this interview for sure.
We are. We are so in sync.
Okay. So let me get to another question. Our guests have mentioned the word passion. It seems a necessary ingredient for success. Can you expand a little bit on this idea, please?
Yeah, I think passion is such a perfect word. You know, it can relate to so many situations. You know, there's passionate love relating to emotions. You know, there's passion in frustration. There's passion for a cause. You know, passion is one of those things that can be universally relatable, really, to everyone. If you take the time, you can find passion in every person. There is something, there is some way that every person finds their passion, whatever it may be. It is there. You just take the time to talk and you could find it, right? And that is what leads some down specific career paths. You know, in my case, my passion for that led me to radio. It can lead others to hobbies or activities. It leads some down educational roads. You know, you can have a passion for learning, and you see that in people who have advanced degrees. Tapping into our passion is what can guide us to success. So however that success is defined, but tapping into our passion is what guides us there. And for me, early on, it was radio and entertainment. And ultimately, as I grew, it was connection. And I saw passion for that connection grow, and it manifested in community for me. And that's what led me to volunteering more, a way to use my passion to help others. And eventually it led me to a career change from broadcasting to working in the nonprofit sector.
I see. Well, I have to absolutely agree with you, because passion, it seems, is the driving force behind so many of our successful people in America today. And it's an emotion that keeps flowing within the person. Combined with education and experience, people get to where they want to go. So, our listeners, I'm certain, would like to know how you came from on air to Make-A-Wish. How exactly did it come about, and what was involved?
It's kind of an interesting story, because I loved the radio industry, as I said, for that community connection, you know, being a part of something that was a little bit bigger than myself. You know, radio, really, when you boil it down, you're just sitting, you know, in a room talking to yourself. Really, you know, you're in these little rooms.
Sort of.
That also kind of funny are padded, but that's for another conversation. But, you know, you're sitting in there and you're talking to yourself. So you really need to connect with people, right? And people have to relate to what you're saying to lead them to call you or to engage with you. So for me, that was it. I as I grew and learned, it was that community connection and how I could use that ability to help others. Simply being an ear for them to talk to some days. Sometimes people are just having a bad day and I said something that made them laugh and they called. Other days I played a song that, you know, worked. Other times I could promote their event for them. And that was one of the things I really enjoyed doing, was interviewing organizations to help promote maybe a fundraiser or a key event that was coming up. So I did a lot of interviews of organizations. That led me to being asked to attend the events or MC an event. I MC'd a lot of events, from percentage days at a local business to charity walks to black tie galas to, oh gosh, events that 10,000 people were waiting for fireworks to fire, you know. And through that, I got to meet a lot of people who worked for nonprofits. During that time, an employee of Make-A-Wish Eastern North Carolina approached me to help promote an event. My immediate reaction was, now that I see a kind of common one, wait, you work for Make-A-Wish here? Because I had, of course, heard of the organization, but I didn't know they had employees here locally. You know, I knew of Make-A-Wish. I think most everyone has heard of the organization, but it's that Eastern North Carolina part I had never heard about. So I thought it was just this large organization that granted wishes. And so she told me about how it worked with Make-A-Wish, and you know, chapters all over. And I came up with an idea right then and there to share that, to showcase local wishes being granted. So we called it the Make-A-Wish Spotlight, and it aired every month as a public service announcement on my station. That's the perk when you're the boss. You can kind of do cool stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, you can. So I didn't know you could do that, public service, just because you were asked to.
Yeah, I decided as the boss that I wanted to. So I said, I'm going to dedicate X amount of inventory every month for this public service announcement. We, you know, radio stations do that. They do a certain amount of it. So I did. I would interview a wish kid and their family. They'd come into the radio station. I'd interview them. I would edit it, and I'd run it throughout the month. So from there, it grew. And that aired for a little over 4 years on my radio station. And I got more and more involved with the organization. They became busier and busier from the promotion, from people hearing all these local stories. And eventually, a need arose for another employee in this area, and the executive team at Make-A-Wish approached me. They said, you know, you've been a volunteer for us, and I served as a volunteer on the advisory council. And so they said, would you ever be interested? And I said, yes. And I left my career in radio and joined Make-A-Wish. It was a very, I would say, a very easy decision at that moment, because it was, as you grow, my passions grew and changed, and it was everything in my heart that I wanted to be doing, which was using my powers for communication and my passion and my abilities for good, helping grant wishes.
Well, it seemed like it had a very natural flow. It, you know, kind of like the river, just from the lake to the river, the way I hear you tell it. And it seemed like just exactly the right thing for you at the right time. So, here's my signature three-part question. Take us through slowly. Timeline history of the Make-A-Wish organization, which I believe began in Raleigh in 1986. I don't know if that's right. And its mission, please tell us the mission, and how the Make-A-Wish organization has grown. And I believe it's throughout the world now. Is that right?
Yeah, Sonia, you are correct. You are good. You got this all down. You are absolutely correct. Make-A-Wish Eastern North Carolina began here in 1986. The organization itself, though, started in 1980 in Phoenix, Arizona. So the at the time, there was a 7-year-old boy. His name was Chris Gracious. He was diagnosed with leukemia, and the treatments at that time were nowhere near as effective as they are today. So the outlook for Chris really wasn't good. At the time, you know, cancer in children did not have the high survival rates that we see now. So Chris, at 7, he wanted to be a police officer. That was his goal. And his mom shared that with a friend who was a member of the Arizona Highway Patrol. And that friend took it to work, and they decided they were going to help this little boy out. And they were going to create a plan and work towards making him a police officer for a day. And one day, the Phoenix community came together, and they made that wish come true. Oh. Chris was made an honorary member of the Highway Patrol. He was gifted a badge and a uniform in his size. Oh. It's just adorable. The pictures are just incredible. He got to check out all of the equipment. The funniest thing to me is, you know, he rode the motorcycle, because you remember 1980, so this is like peak Chips time.
Yes.
Do you remember that show? So he got to ride the motorcycle and so much more. I mean, it was the perfect day. And, you know, just days later, Chris passed away.
Oh,
he
wow.
was buried in his uniform. Oh. The members of the Highway Patrol traveled to be at the services because they were so impacted by that day.
Yes.
You know, and little did Chris know that wish, that moment, would create a movement that would transform millions of lives worldwide. That experience, that one moment of people showing kindness, was the inspiration to create the Make-A-Wish organization that now, you are correct again, Sonia, operates through 60 chapters located throughout the United States and in 45 countries around the world. Well, it's a really pretty impressive thing from 1980 to today. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. And so it's really interesting because the mission is simple and it's very clear. We create wishes, life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses. So we grant wishes for kids that are between the ages of 2.5 and 18. We have up to 3 years after their 18th birthday to get their wish granted. So if a child is 17 and a half when they come into our pipeline, we have a little bit of time to work with them. And a critical illness is medical conditions that have put the child's life in danger. And there are a wide variety of qualifying medical conditions. And that list is ever evolving, really. So that's kind of the overview. And I could share a little bit more, but I think maybe we could get into a wish, what exactly it is. A wish is exactly, it's just exactly that. It's something the child wishes for. You know, typically they fall into a category type, the wish to go, which is travel somewhere, the wish to be, which is a kind of a role play of sorts, you know, a wish to be a superhero or an astronaut or a rock star, the wish to have, it could be a computer, a playset, a pool, the wish to meet a favorite celebrity or an athlete, a musician. And in recent years, we've actually seen the growth of a fifth category, which is the wish to give. And that is children using their wish to give back. So maybe they want to get computers for their school or new band uniforms or things like a playset at a playground, things like that. It's very interesting.
Very fascinating. I knew about the four categories. The I want to go somewhere, like maybe Disney World.
Oh, that's the magic word. Yeah. Gina, that is the number one travel destination.
Okay. Then I want to have something for myself or something for someone else. I don't know what they might be.
Yeah. The wish to have, typically, you know, that's where we've seen that growth of the fifth category of the wish to give. To give back, they want to use their wish to give to someone else. Yeah.
Okay. And then the I want to meet. So they might want to meet a real astronaut, a boy, a girl might want to meet a star, a movie star, maybe like Beyonce or something like that. So can you make that happen?
We can. The wish to meet, we have an entire division of Make-A-Wish that handles the coordination of those things. And, you know, I'm actually going to ask you a question. Could you guess who the number one celebrity wish granter is?
I don't know because I can't think that.
No, it's a tricky one. It is an athlete. It is a wrestler by the name of John Cena.
Oh, there's Chris. He knew it.
He's nodding, right? Yeah. John Cena has granted over 600 wishes.
And does he actually comply? Does he have the time to actually grant the wish to the child?
He does. Yeah. He is such a tremendous supporter of our organization. So schedules change, they're traveling, they're filming, they're, you know, doing all sorts of different things. So that's why we have an entire kind of division that handles that. They work with, you know, agents and travel, and they try to coordinate. And maybe if we have three kids that all live in a kind of a close area to where he's going to be, they'll try to coordinate all three coming at the same time so that we can really get as much time with the celebrity as possible. But yeah, we work with athletes, musicians, you know, and that's where it can be kind of interesting and really an extra special experience for the wish kids. You know, if they maybe wish to meet a musician, we'll try to find a place on the tour that they can maybe spend a little extra time in a cool place as well.
It's kind of interesting. Absolutely fantastic. So here's the fourth category I want to be. Now, I want to be a singer, but I cannot sing a note. How do you help somebody who wants to be?
The beauty of autotune. I think we'd all be surprised how many singers we know that actually can't sing as well. So the wonderful amateur engineer, Chris is probably laughing at that one too, because, you know, there's lots of equipment that can make anyone sound good. So a lot of the time, if children want to be a singer.
You mean there's hope for me? Are you saying there's hope?
I'm not going to commit to that, but yes.
Okay.
We'll say in the world of Make-A-Wish, There is hope. So if they wish to be a singer, maybe we take them to a studio and we help them write a song and they learn all the process for it and record it. You know, it may not go viral, but, you know, they still get to do it. You know, and it's all about the experience. It's about a life-changing experience and something those children will never forget. And that's the beauty in what we do, is we focus on those things. So like you said, you know, I'm not a very good singer, but I bet if we could make you one for a day, you would never forget it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But I'm thinking about the parents of these ill children. I know that they are critically ill. Maybe I can't imagine how they must feel to have something this wonderful for their child that they couldn't probably provide, because illness sponges up your money. So it must cost a pretty penny to put these wonderful wishes together. I'm thinking that the parents must be thrilled.
Well, the wish experience itself, it's exactly, I'm glad that you brought this up, because the wish experience, it's the child's wish. We make sure and we work very hard to identify it's what the child really wishes for, but the whole family, immediate family, gets to participate in the experience. And that is by design. As you said, you know, there's financial implications with a child with a critical illness, but there's also that emotional tie and the emotional struggles that these families deal with. You know, in some cases, you know, if it's a two-parent household and one parent oftentimes, you know, maybe has to leave their job to care for the child. In some cases, children have to travel places to receive their treatments. So a parent has to go with one and the other has to stay home with the other children in the household.
Absolutely.
In some cases, like you said, the financial impacts, you know, maybe the money's just not available for the child that used to play soccer to still be able to play, one, financially, but two, they don't have anyone to take them from practice and stuff. So the illness of a child is such a far-reaching impact on the family as a whole. So when we come along, we make sure that everyone gets to enjoy that experience. So the siblings are treated just as special as the wish child in cases, you know, where they get to go, for example, to Disney.
Yeah, that's,
you know, everyone gets to participate on the same equal level.
It's really
and that's important to us as an organization, that it's something for the family, because we have seen in our experience and in research that it has a healing factor for the family as a whole. The pressure is taken off, and you know, families don't have to plan a vacation. They just get to go and enjoy. I mean, that they don't have to think about all of the things that you normally would have to think about. It's taken care of. And that is a healing moment for those families.
So, you know, radio time runs out quickly, but we still have a few minutes, and I'd like you to tell our listening audience who they should contact if they or someone they know has a child with a life-threatening medical situation and a wish.
So the most common first step is visiting our website. That is eastnc.wish.org. That's where most people begin. There's a tab right at the top that says Refer a Child, and that will take you to a page with all the information and an online portal. So a child can be referred by either a parent or guardian, a medical professional that is working with the child, a family member with extensive knowledge, or the child themselves, if they are old enough, they can apply themselves. The other option is you can call our local office, and I'll give you that number. It's 919-821-7111. And just follow the prompts, and you can get through to the department, the medical eligibility department that handles that. And they can answer lots of questions. Of course, right now, we are working remotely because of the COVID complications, but our staff is working and they're monitoring all of our phone lines and all of our website stuff. We're all just doing our best to be able to continue to grant wishes and reach out and be in contact with everyone.
So thank you for that information. It could really benefit somebody listening to us today. And we are on Community Connections, and I noticed that you have used that phrase a number of times, especially when you told about Chris and how this all began. The community got together. the police got together. That was community, and that was the connection. So I'm so happy that you mentioned that on our program called Community Connections. So you did tell the story of Chris, and in the remaining time, I'll bet that you have quite a few favorite wish stories. But could you choose one in the time we have left, something that really moved you?
That is the most common question. It's also the hardest question I get asked because it always changes to whatever the most recent wish I've been a part of, you know, because I see all that joy. There is one wish that always stands out to me. It's from a little boy who wished to work in a pickle factory. Yes, pickles. Those delightful, delightful pickle trees.
On the Lower East Side of Manhattan. It was the pickle man.
Yes, it was such a cute wish. It made us all giggle, but the story behind it and the effects from the wish are just so beautiful. The little boy was going through treatments for cancer. They were particularly aggressive, and his treatments resulted in a loss of taste. So eating was difficult, but he needed to eat. And when he was approached about his wish, he chose pickles. And he chose that because they were the only thing he could taste during his treatment. He wanted to know why. Why is that the only thing I can taste? And I love them so much because they're the only thing I can taste. So the whole family went off to a pickle factory for a day where he got to learn all about making pickles. And that wish is so special because it's just, to me, encompasses the innocence and the pure joy of children and being offered a wish. And the effect was widespread. I mean, the employees at that factory were so impacted. You know, imagine you have a job you do every day. You don't think you're doing anything special or life-changing. And then this little boy could wish for anything in the world, and it's to have your job because you did something that he could taste during treatment. The employees stood so tall.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's what wishes are all about, is that, like you said, that community connection and knowing how far a kindness can reach.
So, Jackie, I want to thank you so much for sharing not only the specific information, but the stories behind the wishes, and for being such a gracious guest. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was truly a joy to spend this time with you and with all of your listening guests.
And thank you for spending this last half hour with me and Community Connections. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5138. I'm Sonia Usach-Kuhn. See you next time on the radio.